All right. Well, hey, I just hit live, so we're live now. I wanted to get it going while you're here and while the internet's working for you. So, T-Bob from the Super Bowl.
Let's go.
How's it going, brother?
Yeah, man. Mike, what's up, brother? Good. I am live here on Radio Row. Here, I'll lift my computer up and do a little spin and give you an idea of the room. There's the ESPN. We got the McAfee show sets being built. Oh, there's Hunt. What's up? He works at the radio station with me. Here is, I don't know if you can see all of this. It is a massive, we are here in the New Orleans Convention Center, which is massive, and a ton of people are here covering the Super Bowl. It's very cool. It's my first ever Radio Row that I've ever done at the Super Bowl.
It's better than media days.
Hold on, Mike. I'm kind of losing you. As I told you, Super Bowl Wi-Fi right now, there's approximately 10,000 people attached. I am going to refresh my page real quick. Wait, okay. Hold on. I think I got you back. Say, it's skipping. Hold on.
Well, it was a fun show while it lasted, but about 5 minutes of T-Bob is about most people can. That's about most people can handle that. So hopefully, we're getting back on here with T-Bob in just a second. Shout out Michael Riley took the Browns to the Super Bowl. He said, but that's where T-Bob's going to go because the Saints. That's about where the Saints belong right now as well. And sorry for the weird timing here, but this is like T-Bob's. He's at the Super Bowl, so this is the time he had available. Shout out JR. I mean, my God. 10:40 in the morning. JR's donating. We appreciate you, buddy. What a legend. Combat, welcome to the family. Thanks to Cousin JR. So hopefully, T-Bob, I've got a great question lined up for D-Bob. If and when he returns to the show. Oh, here we go. We got him.
I think this is probably going to be the more stable connection if my phone can keep up, though. Thanks for having me, Mikey. What's going on, dude?
Hey, I thought of a hypothetical that only I think you can answer. Are you prepared for this hypothetical?
Absolutely. Hit me.
All right. They just invented a time machine, okay? But here's the catch.
Yes.
You can only use it one time because otherwise you could mess up the time stream, what have you. We just can't have people going back and forth and back and forth. So you only get two options and you can only use it for one. You can go back and stop Hitler from being born, or you could stop Brian Kelly from hiring Matt House. Which way would you go there?
Well, it's a complicated issue, and I do not believe that the ends always justify the means. But I do believe in democracy. I do believe in the power of America. And Hitler did many god-awful, abhorrent, reprehensible things. Absolutely undeniable. But what it created was an evil to unite all the good in the world against him. It awoken the American economy. Now, granted, did it create the military industrial complex? Yes, but you know, I mean, okay, but that's a small price to be paid for another natty. Look, bottom line, it awoken the slumbering giant that was America. It thrust us to the forefront of the world as the first and foremost superpower. It united the world in many ways under the banner of democracy and the right of the people to rule. So I wouldn't want to mess with all of that, right? I mean, who knows what ends up happening otherwise? Like, the butterfly effect of changing that is so massive that maybe it ends up ending the world, right? I don't know. Maybe the cold, maybe Russia, maybe nukes happen. I don't know. The point is, if Matt House doesn't get hired as D coordinator, LSU probably wins a national championship, and that's not that big of a difference. Then, you know, then everybody's happy. It's not that big of a deal. So, yeah, I think it's a very clear-cut answer. In an effort to protect America's status as the foremost leading superpower of the world, to protect the war for democracy, to protect and to avoid making any major timeline changes that could potentially end the world, we will go with Matt House never being hired at LSU.
Okay, perfect, perfect. I think that's the right answer. I figured that's where you were going to go. And speaking of them LSU Tigers, how surprised, if at all, were you that, I'm sure you've seen it, FanDuel's put out their Heisman odds. They got Garrett Nussmeier as the best odds in the entire country to win the Heisman. What's your reaction to that?
I mean, look, I think I understand how you get there, in that twice in the last 5 years you've had LSU quarterbacks, as crazy as that still sounds, twice in the last 5 years you've had LSU quarterbacks take home the Heisman. In Nussmeier, you have someone who in his first year starting had a really good year, all things considered, right? There's a lot to work on, certainly. But in terms of that being his first year, it was...
What a shit show this has been. But, you know, what do you expect with old T-Bob on the show? I'm going to text him and say, I think the Super Bowl Wi-Fi was better than his phone. I don't know why he was thinking that was going to work. But I'll let him know. Super Bowl Wi-Fi worked better. Oh, here we go. We got him.
Yo, am I back? Did I lose you?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, dude. Where did you lose me at? I'm apologizing. This is a disaster. I mean, we're at the fucking Super Bowl and the Wi-Fi doesn't work. Are you shitting me? What are we talking about?
What's it like being at a Super Bowl event like that? Because that's a place I'll never be allowed in.
It's cool, man. It's not too dissimilar from something like SEC Media. It's just bigger. There's just more people. It's cool. I mean, it is fun in that you can feel the energy starting to build. And by the end of the week, I'm sure it's going to reach a fever pitch and it's going to be absolutely insane. But I'm sorry, dude, to go back to the Nuss answer, simply, if you look at recent history, you look at the jumps that those other guys that won the Heisman took from year one to year two, you understand that Nuss's one was better than those. They added everywhere offensively really good receiver additions in the portal. You saw how good the bowl game was at the end of the year. The emergence of Trey Des Green, others, Chris Hilton coming back. So it's like, I understand how he ends up there on the list. Also, when you think about the experienced quarterbacks returning, I mean, there's not many. There's not many. So I understand it, even if it does feel a bit weird, as for like two decades, LSU was basically a quarterback graveyard.
They're saying you're as blurry as Bigfoot.
Blurry like Bigfoot. Okay. Let's try one more thing. If you'll allow me the room here, Mike. I am going to try to switch back over to the Super Bowl Wi-Fi. I apologize for this, guys. I just did an entire... This Wi-Fi, it was fine. I don't know what's going on. So I'm going to disconnect for a second. Mike, dance, monkey. Be entertaining. Okay. Did you see the meme going around of human Thanos?
Yeah. It's basically Cousin Shane, right?
Yes. What? That's insane. It's just Cousin Shane. All right, I'm right back.
I'm going to throw up LSU's schedule while I try to track that down, because he's absolutely right. Shane reached out to me and he said, every time this damn meme goes around, I get tagged in it relentlessly. But let me try to bring that up real quick. Again, we're looking at LSU's pretty manageable schedule, I think, for next season. But is Brian Kelly elite? You know, that's the million-dollar question. I don't know. I don't know if I'm buying it, but we'll see. Maybe I'll ask T-Bob that if and when he gets his internet working here. But uploading the Shane Thanos picture. Oh God, you guys are gonna laugh if you haven't seen this. This will work better than T-Bob's Wi-Fi. But yeah, so here it is. And Shane says, that's a good looking fella, just my opinion. Literally every time this meme goes around, Cousin Shane gets tagged in it. So Shane is basically the human equivalent of Thanos from the Marvel superhero movies. But, buddy. All right, I won't throw this up here. Brian Kelly again. Regression. Not great. We're at a crossroads here on the Bayou. Wonder if T-Bob agrees. I think he kind of does. They're going all in, of course, with NIL. We have one of the top portal classes in the country with a lot of weapons for Brian, for Garrett Nussmeier, excuse me, to come back and work around. But here's the updated odds. Oddsmakers, though, not in love with LSU, 10-1 to win the SEC, while there are five teams, Texas, Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, and LSU, all have better odds to win the SEC championship next season over them LSU Tigers. So I think some people are kind of questioning whether Brian Kelly can get it done or not. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. Hit us up with any comments, questions, concerns, all that jazz. Maybe we'll buy some time while T-Bob tries to connect to the internet at the Super Bowl. I mean, I thought, what a great guest. What a great venue to bring to you fine folks. The middle of this early afternoon here we got. And this is pretty much par for the course. Marler doesn't have internet. Steven gets blurry as hell. You know, maybe I'm the common theme. The common theme certainly is me. Maybe I got to do something on my end. Appreciate you, Jet. T-Bob is always a fun watch. And if you haven't already, subscribe to Snaps. Oh.
Okay. Mike, I am hardwired into the internet now. I didn't know we had this capability. I'm hardwired in. Is it okay?
Yeah.
Am I still looking like all the blurred pictures of Kanye's girl from the Grammys the other night?
No, you're looking so good that I'm starting to get hard over here, T-Bob. So no.
Yeah. Let's go, dude. You should have seen yesterday. So like any good local radio man, I do erectile dysfunction commercials.
Right, right.
And so I just started yelling, I see a lot of limp boys around this room. A lot of limp men walking around, but no more. Not today, guys. Just yelling at other radio shows, can you get a boner? No.
Hey,
look at that.
We're pleased to be joined by Cousin Shane here.
Oh, my God. Wait, so if this is Cousin Shane, what are – and I apologize, guys, for the problems. But we're good to go now. If this is Cousin Shane, what are the college football equivalent of the Infinity Stones?
Ooh.
Like what is he collecting to put into his gauntlet? I would say, like, a number one recruiting class would have to be one of the Stones.
Yeah.
An SEC championship, obviously. I mean, I guess a natty would obviously would be the final stone to complete the Infinity Gauntlet. But I wonder, I don't know what else it would be.
I think like a lifetime subscription to like if he had one of those, you know, those black credit cards that it's like an infinite limit.
Yes. Yes. The black card. Yes, absolutely. Black card, unlimited spending.
But
access to a recruiting helicopter.
His black card would only be valid at Cracker Barrel, and he would be so satisfied. Yeah, I think that would do it for him.
What's your go-to breakfast order, Mike? If you're out at a diner or Cracker Barrel breakfast, what are we getting?
Oh, definitely. But you got to get hash browns that are crispy, of course.
Okay.
I'm a big omelet guy. Give me cheese, give me ham, and that's pretty much all I need right there. Maybe some toast and hash browns. Maybe that's a little much, but I go for it. I go with the toast as well.
So I am a massive breakfast sandwich person.
Mm-hmm.
Sausage, egg, and cheese biscuits, sausage, egg, and cheese croissants, sausage, bacon, egg, and cheese croissants, anything like that. So I guess here's my deal. I think the biscuit is the most consistent and the best vehicle overall, but I feel like probably the peak of pure taste is a croissant. I will take toast, absolutely, but there are a few things on this earth, Mike, that I love more than a sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit. I mean, it is just God's gift to my taste buds. It's got all the elements. It's breakfast all in one portable to go hand basket, basically. Even though I got a place here in Baton Rouge, then on the weekend, they make biscuits and gravy. The best biscuits and gravy I ever had. I get it every single weekend. I get it with an over easy egg on top. Ooh.
Only
fire too.
My only problem with biscuits, I'm not a too picky of a guy, but if they're crumbly, if they're shitty like that, it kind of ruins the whole thing for me.
I know, dude. I still miss my great grandma's biscuits. You know, every Southerner, if you're lucky, has some old woman in your family that can make incredible biscuits. And my great grandma used to have one family breakfast a year, like every summer, where everybody would come over, and my God, those handmade biscuits. And you got to understand, this is like North Louisiana. This is a North Louisiana Pentecostal woman. Hair down to her waist. I've been to the church. I've done seen old women speak in tongues. I remember I used to get all the Harry Potter books at midnight when they would come out. And I think maybe it was Goblet of Fire. But I just bought it at midnight. We're up in North Louisiana or whatever. I'm reading. I'm like obsessed, you know, so I bring it to church with me. And that Sunday, the entire message from the pastor was about how Harry Potter's like the devil's work and witchcraft, and you're going to hell if you're reading it. And here I am. I'm like a 12-year-old kid. You would have thought I was going through TSA with 100 pounds of cocaine keistered in my asshole. That's how nervous I was. I mean, I was sitting on the book as he's going fire and brimstone. You're going to hell if you're into this. And I'm like, please, God, do not let anybody find out what I'm carrying right now. But I made it through. I made it through, and Goblet of Fire was awesome. So all's well that ends well.
Yeah, so what would be a college football equivalent of that, do you think? Would it be Dabo hating NIL now that – but, you know, even he's kind of embracing it. Even a year ago, Brian Kelly said, you know, we're not paying players to come down here. Now, by God, they're handing out that dough because they need to win big. What would be that college football equivalent, you think?
I think the college football equivalent of – feeling like you're doing something that maybe like kind of that you're lying through your teeth, kind of like I was, right? As I'm there in the pulpit, I'm saying like, yeah, you know, fuck Harry Potter, as I'm like loving it and sitting on it and reading it. It's a bit like, maybe it's a bit like you're being recruited. You kind of already know where you're going, but maybe you want some extra travel money, extra this or that. And so you go on all these visits and all these guys are, you know, they're buttering you up. They're telling you they can offer. They're doing all these things. And the entire time, you're like Magic Johnson. You're like, I ain't going to be here. Because I definitely, like, I went through some of that being recruited. Like, I always knew I was going to go to LSU. But I loved going to party in Athens with a bunch of my old friends. So I was taking unofficials to Georgia every single weekend, you know. And just, oh, dude, I could really see myself here. This is awesome. Love it here. But no, the entire fucking time, I knew I wasn't going to go to Georgia. Yeah. And so that would be my equivalent of it.
Any thoughts on this? You know, Nick Saban, I think he is doing a really good job as an analyst and all this, but he has been the guy everybody points to now. We're like, oh my God, he should be the commissioner. Oh man, he hates NIL. He's right. It was better back in the day. You know, he said recently, there's no competitive balance. Two things. First of all, when the hell has there ever been competitive balance in college football? It's a game of you know, the haves and have nots. And secondly, who the hell is most responsible for driving up prices and salaries and making this NFL light more than Nick Saban? So you can't just sit here and bitch about the system that you, I think, had the biggest hand in creating.
No, I think you hit it. I think you nailed it, Mike. In many ways, it would make sense potentially for him to kind of be that czar, except that with you, I just completely disagree. I hate the statements that he made on Capitol Hill about restoring competitive balance, because not only does it ring so incredibly false after we just experienced a season with more parity than any that we've arguably seen maybe since like 2007. But when there's the added detail of one of the team that seems to have suffered most was Alabama, the team that he had on top, whether or not this is fair, it's impossible to feel like that's not a bit of sour grapes. Like, what does restore competitive balance? Restore when Alabama just had all the resources and was way ahead of everybody else? Like when Alabama just stagged the number one recruiting class every single year, year in and year out, no problem. When Alabama couldn't have their roster poached and they could stash 4 and 5 stars for 4 to 5 years instead of allowing those guys to go find their fortune elsewhere, go get playing time elsewhere, go make their careers elsewhere. So, no. And look, it's flawed. It's not perfect. Like, it is actually insane that college football is the second biggest sport in America, and there's no leader. Like, there's no one person that you can point to. That is insane. But unfortunately, I just do not think Nick Saban can be that guy when he so roundly rejects what the market has clearly said, this is what we're going to be. I mean, you can bitch and moan and cry and whine all you want about everybody getting paid or whatever, but the market speaks louder than anything else. This is Adam Smith economics, the invisible hand, okay? And the market's saying, we want to pay these players. The market's saying, we want to give Jim Knowles $3 million to be our defensive coordinator. And so if you're going to look for someone to lead, you need someone who meets the sport where it's at and then is innovative about the future. And that's what got the NCAA into all this hot water in the first place. They had a chance when all this was coming about to say, you know what, guys? Writing's on the wall. We're fucking losing. So let's look at what's coming and let's say, how can we get ahead of it? How can we work with it? But instead, it's like trying to hold back the tide, right? Or put toothpaste back in the tube. They stuck to these impossible, old, broken notions of what's right. And look at where it got them. Like, as soon as Justice Kavanaugh sent that letter about how, actually, guys, everything you're doing is illegal and would be illegal in any other segment of American life, as soon as that happened, they should have immediately been like, how do we pay the players? Instead, they fought it every single step along the way, and they've lost every single step along the way.
Mm. Hey, has this come up at all at the Super Bowl? I know, you know, you live down there and everything, but you are at the eye of the storm, essentially, of the future of college football, because you are, I believe, in the birthplace of Arch Manning. Are you tired already of the – I mean, he's doing national – he's sponsored by Red Bull. He's getting interviewed by Marty Smith. Are you tired already of Arch Manning? Because I think this is going to be all off season. It's going to be the summer of Arch.
Fuck no, bro. How could you be tired? He's the prince that was promised. Right? I mean, this is Rhaegar Targaryen. Like, if you're into reading fantasy, I mean, this is, you know, the king's son who isn't a slapdick, right? Like, he's from the royal family, but he's one of those princes that you can celebrate and get behind. And wow, look at how he carries himself. And yeah, he's been training for this for his whole life. So no, I'm very unenvious of Arch. I cannot imagine the burden that he has on his shoulders. And it's, as you said, it's only going to increase more and more and more as time goes on. But no, I'm very excited that the Arch Manning era is here. I think it's very easy to find interest outside looking in. The storylines write themselves. I think it's still fucking absurd just how good the Manning family is at football. Absolutely. How about this? People stud racehorses. Why are we not studying Archie Manning? How many millions could you get for that nut? Are you telling me, Mike, wherever your future wife lies, that you wouldn't squirt a little Archie inside of her, you know, and just be the circuit, just raise that kid? Shit, dude, you could auction off Archie's sperm for millions of dollars. If Seabiscuit gets millions, Archie gets millions.
Yeah, I could certainly see this. The Blind Side. This is the natural evolution of the Blind Side is the Manning seed or something like that. You know what?
How about this? So Texas, Jacob Klosser says, talking about NCAA. Yeah, but there has to be structure. Can't be limitless. That world is trash. I agree there has to be structure. My point is that structure is only ever going to pass muster or be able to be provided if it's forward thinking. Yes, concessions will have to be made on both sides, but they're not going to be extreme concessions. You're not going to stop boosters from being able to, like you have to accept where the market's at and operate within those parameters. And honestly, we all know this a billion times. It has to end with some sort of collectively bargained agreement. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't understand all the ramifications that come with that. But like, that's the only way that this is ever going to be, that this is ever going to happen.
Right. But the problem with that is,
yeah, go ahead.
In the NFL, all these other sports, of course, that, you know, they have this collective bargaining, but who that really benefits is kind of the guys at the lower end that need a minimum. And it, and it hurts guys at the top of the sport, like
no doubt.
Yeah, you know, guys that are getting $4 to $8 million, they're going to sit there and say, "Why the hell would I collectively bargain? You're going to hurt my potential payday." So, I mean,
no, you're right. Well, you're very right about this, Mike. One thing is, in this new system, the players have almost all of the power. So you're absolutely right in, like, what are the angles? What carrots can you offer the players to come to the table when the Wild West market, for the most part, actually plays out in their favor? Maybe it is that because it protects the people at the bottom, it'd be more people involved. And so that becomes like a way to generate momentum. But no, you're absolutely right about that. Why would the players agree to less transfers? Right? Oh, mm-hmm. I can enter the portal every offseason, have a bidding war every offseason, maximize my profit. Like, it's tough to see how you get them to that table in the first place, to your point.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's certainly wild times, but I'm trying to think. Anything, any wrecks you got going on? I do have two wrecks for you.
Okay. I would say this. I've only watched the first episode of the new Severance season. I enjoyed that. Blink Twice. I really liked Blink Twice. It's a Zoe Kravitz movie. She directed it. I don't really know how to explain it. But like, I'd say like 7.5 out of 10, really enjoyed, you know, would recommend. It's a great couples watch, I would say. And then, but yeah, that's the only good thing I've seen recently. What about you?
Okay. Well, hey, here's another similar vein. It's more of a, not strictly romance by any means, but have you ever heard of this movie called My Old Ass? It's really good. This girl, she takes psychedelic mushrooms, and it gives her the ability to speak to herself 20 years in the future, and her future self is giving her relationship advice, and it really is, I've seen it twice. Like, I watched it by myself, and then I knew my girlfriend would love it, so I watched it again. That's really good. And then I know you've got kids. I think I've told you this before. Beast Games on Amazon.
Beast Games?
It's incredible.
Like Mr. Beast?
He has a show on Amazon. It's a 10 episode. It's still going. This Thursday will be episode 9. I told you I can't watch week to week. I'm addicted to it. I watch it every night when it comes out.
You fucking dick. So Mr. Beast is the one who finally got you to break. You know, you, a man of culture and film, you, a man who should celebrate TV episodic content in which you can really bask in and enjoy each show. It is the Beast Games reality show that has finally caused you to lay prostrate in front of Week to Week. Pathetic.
Well, Mr. Beast, he knows how to get that algorithm. He's a master manipulator. You know what I mean?
I mean, he is the fucking YouTube legend.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, too.
And then I have two other ones. These have been out for a while, so I assume everybody's seen them, but I just rewatched them. I got to give these a shout out. Hell or High Water. Have you seen that movie?
Oh, my God. Incredible movie. To be fair, time for a rewatch. I only watched it once. That's the I Am Comanche, right?
Yeah.
that's my God. Chris Pine and Ben Foster.
Correct. Yeah.
I believe, right? What a movie, dude. Fantastic movie. Love it. Great, like, modern day Western is how I feel about it.
Yeah, I think the best character is Jeff Bridges, too. He's in that. He's the police officer trying to get him.
Well, I mean, dude, if you're telling me that we got Jeff Bridges and he's going to be marble mouthing a country accent, like, I'm fucking in 10 out of 10 times. I can listen to that man talk like that forever.
And then I assume you saw this. I assume most people, because this came out a couple years ago, but I just rewatched it. It's incredible on second watch. Peacemaker on HBO. Did you end up seeing that?
Love Peacemaker.
Yeah.
Love Peacemaker. That show is so underrated, so deeply funny. John Cena's ability to be a leading man is shocking. I mean, the growth that he has had as an actor and everything else is truly mind-blowing. And it's what gives me so much hope for what James Gunn is going to do for DC. Not that I actually care. I mean, to get me wrong, like, the market is so saturated with superhero movies, kind of whatever. But I did grow up like a DC fan over a Marvel fan. And Suicide Squad 2 is actually one of my favorite movies ever. Very funny. You know, not like favorite, like top 10, but like, I think it's really a great movie. He did make Peacemaker, which was excellent. And I think Superman looks really good, dude.
Is that James Gunn?
That's James Gunn. James Gunn attempting to do the impossible. Can you make a good modern day Superman movie?
Yeah.
And Superman, I always believe, is one of the hardest characters to write for obvious reasons. I mean, you know, he's uber powerful. Like, he doesn't have any weaknesses. So how do you create it? Also, you know who's been on a fucking run lately? Nicholas Holt. He's all over the place, dude. And now he's playing Lex Luthor. Like, yeah. And he was awesome in Nosferatu, which, by the way, Nosferatu. Hell yeah, dude. That's a hell yeah, dude.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, you film ass film. Absolutely fantastic. Bill Janis is mad at us about joking about Hitler and World War II and 30 million more than died. Look, Bill, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. It's fucked up to joke about, but here we are. You know, man, I don't know. I joke about everything.
Right.
Is it sacrilegious? Is it bad? Is it going to offend some people? Absolutely. And if you're offended, I'm sorry, but yeah, it is what it is. You got to understand, Bill, Madhouse fucking sucked, okay? You had Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas, and Jaden Daniels, who are all up for NFL Rookie of the Year. Rookie of the Year. Rookie of the Year. And you went 9-3.
Oof.
How is Jalen Milroe so bad, but every time he plays LSU, he scores 18 touchdowns? It doesn't make any fucking sense. I can't even blame Madhouse for this year.
Hey, that's a perfect place to cap it. I know you got to run here, but any buzz from the Super Bowl about Jalen Milroe? Because he's been a hot topic on this show. Some people defend him. Some people hate him. But what do you think his future is in the NFL?
I'll give you some against the grain analysis here. I think the Senior Bowl sometimes can be a little It's very interesting. You learn a lot. It doesn't always have the biggest headlines. And so something like Jalen Milroe struggling, I think, can take on kind of a, you know, an undue, like, or outsized importance. Like, people make a very big deal of it. But from my talking with scouts at bars and, you know, doing the networking thing, it seems like the majority of people are still, like, they believe in the potential. I'm not saying he's going to be a first-round pick or anything, but, like, I guess the main thing I'm saying is it's not as bad as what the majority of the coverage from the week would have you believe. The scouts still see an elite athlete who they believe can maybe be taught the tools and who's had success at times. So if you're a Milroe believer, just know behind the scenes, I think there are people who are there with you.
And have you heard any of the – people making the claim that he was tipping plays before the snap. Have you heard any of that?
I mean, I have. And I think that's kind of proven, right, by accident. Was it like how he was lining up?
Right.
My concern
with that is how in the hell did Kalen DeBoer not catch that earlier? And apparently they did mix it up against it for the LSU game. And that was a big reason why he had success. But, you know, that to me is that is god awful coaching if they didn't pick that up.
So that shit happens, man. Think about this. So Andre Agassi back in the day, very famously, I can't remember who his rival was, because I'm not the biggest tennis guy. I actually love playing tennis; it's fucking awesome. Maybe, but I don't know a lot about the sport.
Sampson, was that his name? Pete?
It wasn't Sampras. It wasn't Sampras. This is before Sampras. Okay. But there was this dude with a rocket serve. Okay, and Agassi was really struggling with it. At one point, Agassi noticed that depending on what he did with his tongue, he knew what type of serve was coming. It was like, you know, like this or like that or something. And Agassi never told him until there's a great interview you can look up. It's like 20 or 30 years down the road. And he finally tells him, and the guy's like, what the fuck, dude? I thought you were reading my mind. Like, I had no idea. And think about it. That's an individual sport with millions of dollars on the line, where you have entire teams of people committed to just looking at one person and what they do. And yet that was still happening. I remember like a great interview on Monday Night Football way back then. Who was the old badass white D lineman who was obsessed with wrestling from the Vikings? Maybe it was like Horvath or something. No, it wasn't Horvath. It doesn't matter. But I remember a Monday Night Football segment where he was talking about, and I don't know why he made this public, why he would say it, but he noticed that Donovan McNabb, this is in the NFL, every time he was going to snap the ball, he would lift his heels a fraction of a second before. And so he would never listen to McNabb. He would just watch his heels. And when he went, he would go. It wasn't Sampras, guys. It wasn't Sampras. But the point is, everybody's got tells. Everybody's got tells. And so I don't think it's that insane that maybe they didn't pick up on Milroe.
Would that have been number 69, Jared Allen?
No, it was not Jared Allen. It was this is a more random deep cut. He was an interior defensive lineman. He had like two or three great years, and he was obsessed with wrestling to the point where the Vikings brought Brock Lesnar in for a training camp, and he was Brock Lesnar's roommate, and he was like geeking out because he was getting a roommate with Brock Lesnar.
All right. Hey, T-Bob, really appreciate your time. Anything to plug before you hop off?
No, man, just Google Snap CFB. We're slowing down a little bit right now. We're changing stuff up, but, still right there at that SEC podcast, man, trying to make this dream happen. Also, sorry about the technical difficulties, man.
No doubt. Hey, let me know. Let Thanos know if you ever need us on. We'd love to have you on the we'd love to be on Snaps.
Yeah, we're going to have you all on for sure. I know I've had you on. I got to have Shane on too. We need to do a full four-way crossover episode. Also, thank you, Migrating Coconuts. Not only do I love your name because of Monty Python, but Chris Hovan, not Horvath. Chris Hovan was the name that I was looking for. Look him up, psycho white boy. All right, Mikey, take it easy, brother.
Bye-bye.
Later, man.
See ya. All right, so thanks again, T-Bob. Wrap up right there. Sorry if that was not your cup of tea, but man, I had to tee him up. I knew, or I didn't know. That's why I love posing those types of questions, old T-Bob. I never know where in the hell he's gonna go. But hey, thanks for sticking it out. I know it's a little weird this week with Cousin Shane off. I'm trying to try to keep the content going, keep it original, keep it unique, and no one better than old T-Bob. So we got a couple more interviews coming up to finish out the week. I think you guys are going to be very excited. But thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next one.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.